Good morning. If you want to turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, we're going to be in Galatians today. And if you've got your journals, you can turn to today's reading, which is not reading at all, but it is a space for you to write down some notes and some pearls of wisdom that I'm going to drop on you today. You guys ready for that? Little pithy quotes from Ryan. This morning we're talking about one of our favorite biblical principles of sowing and reaping. And as you can see, Jessie is painting. She's got a girl here, and she's got seeds that are falling through her fingers. And, you know, today the question that I want to ask you is, what seed are you sowing? What are you sowing? Because the truth of God's word shows us that you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. I'm standing up here this morning, reaping what I have sown for a lifetime. And I should have known better, right? My dad, he would tell me as a teenager, Ryan, if you eat fat, greasy food, you're going to become a fat, greasy dude. You know, maybe it's pithy quotes from Ryan's dad today. But it's true. Like, I am now reaping the reward or the consequence of eating whatever I wanted for so long. Some of you know I recently had some medical testing done, and they found a few things, and they weren't exactly thrilled with it. And so they said, you need to make some changes, Ryan. Doctors says that we got all these tests, and these tests tell us a few things. One, that you've got high blood pressure and you need to stop drinking coffee. That was a dark day. It was a very dark day. And then to make that day even darker, she said, you're also going to have to give up salt. And it was just a dark day. It was a very, very dark day. Everything good comes in the form of caffeine and salt. But you know what? I knew it. And that's the thing, is that you know this information. You can be told something and like cognitively aware of it, that if I continue doing these things, I'm going to reap some sort of consequence. But the problem is that when you're doing it, you don't necessarily see those side effects or consequences straight away. Unlike the time that I maced myself. Does anybody know? You know what mace is? Like, it's military grade pepper spray. And I got a face full of it. I was 12 years old. We were moving into this property out on a farm. And like, it was a great place, right? Barns, fields, a creek running through the property that had fish in it. I mean, it was paradise for a 12-year-old kid. Our nearest neighbor was like a mile away, and like, it was just so much fun. We're moving in, and my dad says, it's just me and my dad taking a load, and he says, Ryan, now, I don't want you to mess with anything that you don't know what it is. Don't touch anything that you don't know what it is. You know, I'd grown up in the city, and now we're headed out to the property, and he's like, don't mess with stuff, okay? And I'm like, sure, Dad, like, whatever. And so I'm doing some exploring, and Dad's bringing stuff in, and I see this, like, black metal canister secured to the front, next to the front door. And I'm like, oh, I wonder what that is, right? And so I grab it and pull it out. Like, there's no writing on it, nothing. And I'm looking at it, and I turn it around, and I squeezed it, and I sprayed myself right in the face with a can full of mace. It was painful. I screamed. I just, like, immediately I'm crying and screaming, and I grabbed my face and I ran as fast as I could. Didn't even know where I was running. Didn't even feel the screen door as I broke through it. And I'm just, like, at the top of my lungs, just screaming. And my dad, of course, worried about his oldest son, the one who will carry his name into the future. And he caught up to me about 50 yards into the front yard and grabbed me and pulled me around, and like, he could smell it. It was all over me. And he knew what it was, being in the military. And so, relieved that I had not killed myself, he began to laugh. You reap what you sow, right? Like, it's just this truth, this principle that is absolute. And so now, here I am, pushing 40, reaping what I've sowed my entire life of unhealthy habits, of eating whatever I wanted whenever I wanted it. And now the doctor tells me, no, no more coffee. Is life really worth living without coffee? It's debatable. I've been off of it now for about 2 months, and about 3 weeks ago, I went and had a coffee with my wife, a real coffee, and I cannot tell you how good I felt. I felt like I could run a marathon. It was awesome. Coffee is just the greatest. But we will reap what we sow. Let's check out our reading from last week. There's this bit of Galatians, it just tells us. Paul is warning us. And this is what it says in chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. God's word is not to be taken lightly. When it says God cannot be mocked, that's what it means. It's not that God is looking and waiting and expecting you to blow it. It's telling us, it's warning us that God's ways are important, that we should regard them, that we should care about them. And I think there's a story from our reading that kind of illustrates this, that we will reap what we sow, from Genesis 25. And so if you want to go there, we're going to look quickly at the story of Jacob and Esau. Abram has passed away. Abraham has passed away, leaving everything to Isaac. His brother Ishmael has had a bunch of sons, but Isaac's wife Rebekah is barren. It's a bit of a theme that we see in Genesis. So Isaac prays to God, and God answers his prayer that Rebekah is going to have a child. And during the pregnancy, Rebekah knows that there's something going on, right? The babies are jostling. It's like they're in the womb and they're fighting. They're up to something. And so she inquires to God about, like, what's going on, God? And God tells her that you've got two nations in you, and they're struggling. And this is where we pick it up in verse 24 of chapter 25. It says, when the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his body was like a hairy garment. Can I get an amen for the hairy guys in the room? So they named him Esau. I'm just so glad that we don't name kids like that anymore. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob, which literally means one who grabs the heel, or deceiver. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. And the boys grew up. Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm really hungry. Jacob replied, first, sell me your birthright. Look, I'm about to die, Esau says. What good is the birthright to me? But Jacob says, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew, and he ate and he drank and he got up and left. And this is what the scripture says. And so Esau despised his birthright. He despised his birthright. And we will see from this story later on, as we read into it, that he ends up serving the younger brother, just as God told Rebekah, that he did not care about it. He did not invest in it. He did not think it worth any high regard. It says that he despised it. I love how one of the commentaries describes this transaction. It says that Esau ate and drank, pleased his palate, and satisfied his appetite, then carelessly rose up and went his way, without any serious thought, without any regret, any thinking about the bad bargain that he had just made. Thus Esau despised his birthright. By his neglect and contempt afterwards, and by justifying himself in what he had done, he put the bargain in past recall. He didn't even think about it anymore. People are not ruined so much by doing something that's amiss, but by doing it and not repenting of it. You see, it's not just health and heritage that's at stake here. Paul talks about this. If you sow with the flesh, you'll reap destruction. But God wants us to sow into the Spirit and we'll reap eternal life. See, this is what's at stake here. It's not just my health. It's not just a pill that I can take to fix my blood pressure. God is warning us that his ways are important. He's saying, I want you to know me. I want you to be fascinated with me. I want you to understand the truth of my word and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you taking it seriously? Are you sowing into the kingdom? Are you sowing the things of God? Are you living the way of Jesus? And Paul is warning this church, and today it's a warning for us as well. Are we neglecting the word of God, or are we sowing the word of God into our heart? Are we going to reap eternal life, or are we going to reap destruction? Is God of primary importance to us, or is he just an add-on to our already full and busy lives? Because this is the heartbeat of sowing. To sow into something means you care for it. You regard it. You look after it. You reap what you sow. This is an absolute principle of a physical principle that we see in farming. You see, the deal with sowing and reaping is that you don't get a crop because you want to go harvest corn. You get corn because you've sowed corn. You plant corn, you get corn. You plant tomatoes, you get tomatoes. Tomatoes, I guess. Right? Like, what you plant is what you get. It isn't the reaping that determines the harvest, it's the sowing. The physical law is just as powerful in the spiritual realm. God cannot be mocked. His ways are to be taken seriously. We should regard them as important and fearful things. But that does not mean that we are afraid of God. Let me just remind you this morning, I say it all the time, God is not angry with you. God is not upset with you. He is not looking at you and waiting for you to sow something incorrect so he can drop a piano on you. You are loved and accepted by God because of Jesus, not because of anything that you will ever do. There is nothing that we can do that will ever pay back God's extravagant gift of Jesus Christ on the cross. His gospel changes us from the inside out so that we live according to his word. We don't make up for how bad we are by doing good things. We reap what we sow. His ways are important. I love how Timothy Keller writes about this verse. It's in a book called Galatians for You. It's a bit of a commentary that he wrote, and if you're interested in that, you can pick that up at Qumran. When it says that God cannot be mocked, a man reaps what he sows, he says this does not mean that God is a vengeful God, sitting in heaven looking to avenge any slights or insults. Sin against God sets up strains in the fabric of the moral and spiritual universe, just as eating fatty foods sets up strains in the physical fabric of your heart. If you sow seed poorly, you reap a poor crop and poverty. If you eat fatty foods, you reap a poor heart and early death. If you give into your sinful nature, you reap spiritual breakdown and destruction. The word destruction can also helpfully be rendered corruption or disintegration. What Paul is saying, what God is saying to us through Paul, is that sin makes things fall apart. Sin tears things apart. If God is saying to us, Ryan, you're going to reap what you sow. What he's saying in us is that sin is looking to tear you apart, so you must hold firmly onto the gospel of Jesus Christ. His grace, his mercy, his compassion, his loving kindness, his eternal faithfulness, he will never change. We must hold on faithfully. We must hold on strongly to this gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't become a slave to sin all over again. Paul is telling us, you cannot earn your salvation. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Just like Jacob and Esau, there's bigger things at stake than just a meal, a birthright, or an inheritance. We're looking to that eternal life. We're looking for that kingdom of God to come down and make his purposes known in our lives and in our spheres of influence. We are going to be that voice of who God is in our spheres of influence. Are we sowing into that? or are we sowing into something different? Will we take it seriously? Paul is issuing a warning. This word, this last bit of Galatians is a warning to this church. And I think it's the same for us today, that we need to take God seriously, that we need to sow into the Spirit, that we need to not give up doing good. But to see the outworking of this, we have to jump back a chapter into Galatians chapter 5. And let's go ahead and read it. It's in verses 13 of chapter 5. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, or instead, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in this keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with one another, so that you do not do whatever you want. But if you were led by the Spirit, you're no longer under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. There is no law. So if God is speaking to us that we need to take His word seriously, if God is speaking to us that there's this principle at play that says you will reap what you sow, and if He's saying that in us, there's this force of sin that wants to tear us apart, that it wants to master us, that it wants to destroy us, that we must hold on to this gospel of Jesus Christ. If that's the in us and the to us, then the through us is that we've got to sow this way of Jesus into our lives, into the lives of those around us. That we have to sow love. That we have to sow these fruits of the Spirit, which, like, as you look at this list, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, you know, meekness, self-control, all of them start with love and go from there. It's a chain reaction. To learn to serve others humbly in love is a chain reaction of what Jesus has done for us, how it's changed us from the inside out, and then by the Holy Spirit allows us to move into this area of living it through us, sowing love into our spheres of influence. If we reap what we sow, we should sow love. We should sow love in every sphere that we are influencing. And this is what Paul says. We've already read it. Don't become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Serve others humbly in love. We sow love every day. We have the opportunity to do it every day, day by day. But here's a really interesting thing that we have to remember, is that there is a delay between the sowing and the reaping a harvest. So don't give up. Don't give up. Be encouraged that God is with you, that He loves you, He knows you, and He has a plan for whatever's happening in your life to redeem it for good and not for evil. Don't give up. Continue to sow love. What does this look like? Well, we're able to see how we can sow love in our lives. If we jump over to Romans chapter 12, we'll look at verses 9 through 16. These are the ways that we can sow the same sacrificial love that Jesus has shown us. The first way, if you're going to write some pearls, some nuggets of wisdom in your journal this morning, this is the first one. We sow love by being honest. We sow love by being honest people who speak out against what is wrong. You can find that in verse 9. We sow love to people who are unlikely indifferent because they too are our brothers and sisters. Verse 10. we so love by making others feel honored and valuable. We so love by making others feel honored and valuable, by thinking of others before we think of ourselves. I love what Stephen said this morning. He says, it would be a travesty if our value of people matter just became a slogan. Look, I understand. Like, we get busy, we get frustrated, we want things a certain way because that's what we ordered or that's what it should be, and we get frustrated when it doesn't happen. I wear the People Matter shirt a lot, right? And it's probably a good thing. This week, my kids were all in school, first full week, right? All my kids now in school, 5, 8, and 12. You hear me talk about them a lot. But it was the first week that Ellie and I, in the middle of the day, no kids around, and you know, we were kind of feeling it, right? It's emotional. Little Charlie at school, terrorizing his teacher instead of us. So we met for a coffee and, you know, just kind of talk about it. And, you know, I was wearing the People Matter shirt and we got the coffee. Mine was decaf, so it was bad to begin with. But it was wrong, right? And I'm wearing the People Matter shirt. And so I hand the coffee to Ellie and I'm like, hey, can you go take this back and tell him it's wrong? Because I got the shirt on. I can't do that. I need people to feel valuable and honored when they're with me. And she was like, Ryan Smith, no way. If there's something wrong with your coffee, you take it back. And I'm like, I guess it's not that bad. Like, it's a different perspective, right? Like, it's different when it's more than just a slogan. Like, we're called to sow love into people's lives. I wish there were something that would just zap me every time that I treated someone dishonorably or disrespectfully. But you know what? There is something, and it doesn't zap us, and God is not that way. But it's His Holy Spirit that convicts us and leads us into that place where we can sow love. And often, He does speak to us, but since it's not a zap, it's not a zinger, it's not Him punishing us, we don't heed it. We just get frustrated because what we wanted didn't happen. But God has called us to sow love into people's lives. God has sowed this love into us, and He's asked us to sow it. Will we be people that treat others as valuable and honorable? That's what Jesus has done with us. We sow love by being generous in practical ways with our home, our money, and our time. We sow love in practical ways with our home, our money, and our time. You know, it's a big deal here. We want people to connect into community. But so often, we want someone to do it for us. And let me just encourage you this morning that if you want a friend, be a friend. If you're waiting for someone to invite you out to do something, don't wait. Invite them out. Connect with people. Step out of your comfort zone. I know it's scary because you're putting yourself out there. And honestly, the worst thing that can happen is that they say no, and I know that hurts. But I'm asking you by the Spirit of God that you would have the courage to then ask somebody else, to connect with somebody else. Because I guarantee you there are people in this room this morning who want nothing more than to connect. But we have to be the kind of people that will step out of our comfort zone and engage with the very thing that we want by offering it to somebody else. Sign up for a life group. Sign up for a special interest group. There's a ton of them out there. There's 40 groups that have space right now, which is awesome. Out of the 60 groups that we have at Good Life, there's 40 of them that have availability. There's life groups, there's journal groups, there's groups of people that are going to climb mountains, there's groups of people that are going to get together and go eat great food in different places and then have to get the same medication that I have for blood pressure. Find your group. And if there's not your group there, then maybe you need to speak with me or Daniel about starting one. because we want this to be real. But Daniel and I can't do it for everyone. Tim and Ruth and the teams here, they can't do it for everyone. And often what happens is then we get up here and we start telling everybody about every area of need and begging people to get connected, begging people to help, when instead we want you to get inspired by the place and the sphere of influence that God has called you to, so that you then begin to serve others in love by sowing into that area. We need you to step out of your comfort zone. We need people to put their hand up to say, you know what, I'm willing to offer that thing that I need so that others can have it as well. Every week, we get between 10 and 12 connect cards of people who are looking to connect, but we're coming to that place where most of our groups are going to be full after this week. So what are we going to do? Like, man, we got to get really good at the things that we do. Family picnics, life groups, opportunities to serve, places even here within the center, in the cafe or the life house. There's all sorts of places where people can get connected to be a part of what God is doing. But will we sow the seed in that direction is the question. Will we be practical with our time, with our home, with our money? Will we sow into that area? We sow love by not paying others back or holding resentment against one another. That's verse 14. We sow love by being people of forgiveness. I know we need to work on forgiveness. We all do. It's a struggle. When people hurt us, we want to hold on to it. It feels like rewarding them when we forgive them. But the truth is in the light of the cross, man, it's just one broken person forgiving another broken person. We need to be people of forgiveness. We sow love by forgiving others. We sow love by being empathetic, willing to be emotionally involved in people's lives. That is the great part of life groups. It's a great part of being the body of Christ, is that we all need one another. So don't for a moment think that it's okay to walk past someone who's hurting. We are called to be people of empathy. And I'll be the first to tell you, as someone that mercy isn't my first gifting, it takes practice. But you know what? The Holy Spirit of God, who is just like Jesus, shows us, models for us what this looks like. And so we too can be people of empathy and love and mercy. We sow love by being empathetic, willing to be emotionally involved in people's lives. Verse 15. Finally, we sow love by being humble, with humility, being a good neighbor, and associating with people who are different from us. Verse 16. We are called to sow love to all people as we have the opportunity. So don't become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Will we listen? Will we regard God and take him seriously? When I was 12, I didn't really regard my dad's words as anything very serious. That's normal, right? I was 12. But I had to move past that. And as I got older, I realized that as I trusted my dad, it gave me the ability to listen and heed direction. If I had been asked, I probably wouldn't have said that I despised his words, but as a 12-year-old, I didn't really hold them in high regard. Esau despised his birthright, and he reaped it. I didn't listen to the words of my own father, and it was a painful lesson. I reaped what I sowed. And I know we can look back on it now and laugh at the time Ryan maced himself in the face. But you know what? There's more at stake than just a birthright. More at stake than just health and life. There is eternal life at stake. What are we going to choose? Jesus made a way. I don't know what season you're in. I don't know if you've reaped good things your whole life because you've sowed good things. I don't know if maybe right now you're in a season where you're reaping bad things because of bad decisions. Or maybe you're even reaping things that other bad decisions that people have made against you. I don't know. But I want to encourage you this morning, don't give up. Don't give up. God has a plan, and he wants to walk with you through these consequences, through these circumstances. I'm reminded of the prophet Micah, who is speaking a word to the people of God, the Israelites, who themselves are reaping exile and all sorts of bad things that they have done. I love what he says in chapter 7. He says, "Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will arise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light." I love how Eugene Peterson writes it. This is what he says, "But me, I'm not giving up. I'm sticking around to see what God will do. I'm waiting for God to make things right. I'm counting on God to listen to me. Don't, enemy, crow over me. I'm down, but I'm not out. I'm sitting in the dark right now, but God is my light." And I'm so thankful that we have a God who sent his son, who said to everyone that would listen, "I am the light of the world. Nobody comes to the Father except through me." And that he laid his life down for us so that we could have peace. So I don't know if you're sitting in darkness today. I don't know if it's been a tough go, but I do know that you don't have to give up. You can keep moving forward, that God is your light, that you can sow this love into your life and the life of people around you. No matter what's happened, God is never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He is our light. He is our life. And he made a way for us to begin new and fresh and start over. And that's what we get to remember this morning. As we come to the table of communion, the worship team's going to come, and we're going to do communion together this morning. We're going to pause and we're going to reflect on the goodness of God, the sacrifice of Jesus, because the truth of the reaping what we sow and that sin wants to tear us apart, the truth of that is that we must hold firmly to this gospel of Jesus Christ, that to sow the love that we're supposed to sow, it's got to come from God himself. And the perfect picture of that is the life and the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus. And you know, it was at the end of his ministry that this Passover season was happening, and he got all of his friends together and they had this meal. And we have this meal together today to remember the sacrifice, to remember that his body was broken for us, that he was put on a cross, that he was beaten, that he was whipped, that he was stabbed, and he bled and he died so that we could live. And on that third day, he rose again. So we take the bits of bread and we take the bits of juice, and we understand that they're symbols of the body of Christ, of the blood of Christ, that gives us access to the love of God, that once again makes us right with God, that gives us that ability to see that he is victorious over this thing called sin that only serves to destroy us and to tear us apart. He is victorious, that we can keep moving in his direction, and that there is always room at this table for everyone. Would you stand with me today? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to receive communion together, and I encourage you to just take a moment to reflect on the truth of this principle that we do reap what we sow, but that God has come so that we can sow that love back into the world as ambassadors for Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. God, thank you for his body that was broken for us. God, thank you that by his stripes we are healed. God, thank you for the blood of Christ, God, which covers our sins, which makes us white as snow, which makes us new in your sight. God, thank you that we are loved and accepted by you this morning because of this sacrifice of Jesus. God, we love you and we thank you, and we want to honor you and bless your name as we consider the sacrifice of your Son Jesus this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's partake of this together this morning. Don't give up. Don't give up sowing love. Invite somebody out today. Sign up for a life group. Step out of your comfort zone. And remember that God is a good, good Father and that he loves you very much. Have a great week. As always, if anyone needs prayer, we love to pray with them. I'm so thankful for you guys. Have a great week, and we will see you later.